The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Series is Fasting, the Way to Feasting. And we're using as a text the book of Psalms, verse 34, verses 8 through 10. And it says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Fear the Lord, you His saints, for those who fear Him lack nothing." Don't you like that? Those who fear Him lack nothing. "The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing." I love that passage of Scripture. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray this morning. We come to You, Father, believing in You, trusting in You, our hearts and our minds set upon You, that You might teach us and speak to us this morning. Father, we lay down all the things that we have at Your throne of grace, and as a servant looks to the hand of his master for direction, so we look to Your hand and to Your face for direction this morning. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus our Lord. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. All right, now for those of you who are clock watchers, we're running a little late. That means that I'm going to preach a little longer. All right, because I've got some things that I really need to cover this morning. I really didn't intend to finish this sermon this morning, so we'll just see how far we get. But by way of introduction, I've been telling you each week that tomorrow we begin a great adventure. This is a great adventure. This is like going someplace that you've never gone before. Some of you may have fasted for some period of time, maybe a day, 2 days, 3 days. To my knowledge, I don't know anyone here has fasted for 21 days. This is going to be an adventure, something that we can do. And what an adventure does, especially when a group of people do it, it just ties you together. We will have a common experience that we will relate to over the years that God gives us ahead. And we'll remember what we went through in this fast. So it's a time that we will taste of the Lord. He will be our food. He will be what sustains us. He will be the one who gives us the strength to carry on. And I need to tell you, friends, that in the natural, this cannot be done. The natural man can't do this and gain anything of God. But supernaturally, with God's help, we can attain this great task. I've discovered in my walk with the Lord that He does ask us to do some difficult things occasionally. We like to think that life, that it's easy, but the easy path is the one most often tread. But the difficult one is the one that few travel thereon, and those who travel on the difficult paths see and experience things that the great masses of people never see, be that in the natural or be it in the spiritual. Now, I want to forewarn, but that's the wrong word. I want to give you some foreknowledge of things to expect. During the next 21 days, we're going to see habits that are broken. Some of you are addicted to things that you've never been able to get the victory over. This is your moment in time to break these habits. Sicknesses will be destroyed. I believe we will have healings. Dawana had a healing of her eye a couple of weeks ago. I believe it's a preface to what we were doing. The enemy will be scattered. Those who have haunted you and tormented you will have emotional healing. Some of you need emotional healing. You came up with the wrong background in the wrong place. You've got scars that affect everything in your life, and you will be changed as these emotional healings come. We'll find new life direction. God will give you a new pathway that you'd never even considered before, or one that you've been praying about. God will give that to you. Sin strongholds will be broken. Some of you addicted to sin, can't get out of sin. I know it's not polite to say that in the church, but in the church we have people who are addicted to sin. We put on our Sunday morning face, but in the privacy of our homes, we know, and you know, when you look in the mirror, that you've got things that you just can't get the victory over. You will get the victory over these things. Your finances will flourish. Let me encourage you to do something during this fast. Let me encourage you to give generously, above and beyond what you normally would give. Just as a way. In fact, Jensen Franklin, who is the pastor of church in Gainesville, Georgia, that really is a spearhead of fasting, talks about the threefold cord of this prayer and fasting and giving. Those three things are all talked about in the same chapter by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so let me encourage you to give during this period of time. So if the Lord stirs in your heart about your finances, go ahead and do that. We're going to see your debt disappear, spiritual growth. Most importantly, a new nearness to God, maybe that you've never experienced or that you had experienced at one time, and you're searching for again. You'd like to get back there. This is the pathway back to the face of God, as we sang earlier about. So this is what we're going to do. Now, you know how on TV, when they tell you about these new wonder drugs, and they got the drug that'll do anything for you. Whatever you need, they got one that'll do it. It'll help you sleep, it'll help you wake up, help you be weaker, help you be stronger, help your heart pump faster, help it pump slower. You know, whatever you need, they got a drug they advertise on TV. And they always tell you the benefits, and then they start telling you, oh, by the way, this will make your knees fall off, make your hair fall off, make you throw up, make your stomach sick, you know, all those things. They don't want to tell you that, even though it may be true. So this is kind of the negative side of all this. Be prepared for your adversary to try to stop you. He's already been assailing me. I tell you what, it's been just been coming in waves, one thing after another. And he knows my weak spots, and he tries to assail me in those weak spots to try to bring me down. You know, I was going to come in this morning and just say, look, forget about it. It's just too hard for us to do. That's what he told me to tell you. Yeah. You know, I'm not doing that. We're going to press on. Amen. So if you start having problems, this is the small print. The benefits will override the small print, okay? Right. So don't be afraid, but this is not going to be an easy task, but it'll be an awesome task. You know, I've seen the guys do rock climbing. I it's not my forte to do it, but I've heard the guys who do it say the adrenaline rush of doing something that's so difficult to do. And this is the adrenaline rush. It'll be in a spiritual adrenaline rush for you, okay? So today I want to address the subject in this passage. Ms. Pat?
Scripture goes right along with what you say.
Okay, Ms. Pat? Amen. Amen. It's a good passage of Scripture. Dig into the Word in the next 21 days. I want you to really dig into it. Today's sermon is, what is a purpose-driven fast? A purpose-driven fast. And let's look at Luke chapter 18, verses 10 through 14. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. There's a guy who fasted. And I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven. He beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. This is what Jesus said. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. The attitude of your heart is going to be the great determiner of the outcome of this fast. If you're doing this just to please me, Please don't do it. If you're doing this because you think of the great rewards that are involved, that's not enough. This is about your relationship with God more than it is anything else. And you're going to find out in just a few moments, there are some reasons why we should fast. But we need to have the right attitude in our heart. This Pharisee fasted twice a week. That's admirable. But he was concerned about himself. The Pharisee was righteous in his own eyes. Look at what I've done. At the end of 21 days, if you can go to someone and say, man, I am so spiritually strong because I suffered through and had a 21-day fast, and you need to do that because that way you can get where I am. You've just wasted 21 days. Just blew it. The motivation's wrong. False humility. Oh, look at me. If you go around for the next couple of weeks and everyone you see, you got sad eyes. This is so hard. I asked God is doing this and I just can't say no. You missed the point. He was a giver, a tither, and a faster, and it did him no good. But the tax collector bowed himself before God. He faced God with a sense of humility. This is an awesome privilege to be able to participate in a fast before God as a group of people. It's a privilege to be able to do it. And God would even call us to do it. I think of all the things God called me to do, this is the most ridiculous thing He ever asked me to do, in the natural sense. Second to that was the time He had Pat and I sing a duet at a campground when we were ministering. That was really bad.
It wasn't so bad.
It wasn't so bad. Her part wasn't bad. My part was bad. But He saw Himself in need, and we are a needy people. And we need things that only God can provide. And that's what the fast is all about. Going to God, looking at Him as our provider. Fasting requires several things. And one thing it requires is a complete trust in God and in His provisioning. Not looking to yourself, not looking to your own ability, not looking to what you can do, but looking to what God can do in you, for you, and through you. A complete trust in Him, all right? So what you want to do is trust God. Look to Him. Believe Him that He can do this thing. This fast needs a purpose. Every fast that I've uncovered in the Scriptures, there was a reason why they did it. They didn't just wake up and say, oh, geez, let's just fast. They had a reason for it. So begin to search in your heart and mind as to why we're doing this fast, why you're doing it. Ask God to reveal some things to you. There's some things that you need that you know about, but ask Him to reveal some things maybe you hadn't even thought about as to why you're going into this fast. It's going to take a discipline of your mind. Got to make up your mind that you're going to do it and say, I will do this thing. It's what Jim said at the beginning of the service about choosing, using your will to choose. It's a matter of your heart. A willingness to open your heart to new things that God would teach you. So it's got this element of discipline in it. It's going to take some discipline. So let's look at the concept of what a purpose-driven fast is. And the first thing is, it's a fast that produces godly results. It produces godly results. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 through 18. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show that they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting. This is not in the Scriptures, but probably a good idea. Get some breath mints. And today, that's what they would have said. If they were writing this today, instead of putting oil on your face, they said, buy some breath mints, all right? And this will help you. Wash your face so it will not be obvious to men that you're fasting. But only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now, some of you say, well, Pastor, everybody here knows that we're fasting. Although we're supposed to do this privately. No, there is a private fast, but this is a public, corporate fast. Well, we're calling together to do this, okay? So we all know. Now, you're going to find out in a few moments exactly how you fast is your choice. The kind of fast that you choose is your choice, not mine. I'm just laying out to you the various options that you can do. You may go on a complete water fast for 30 days, for 21 days. You may just use liquids. You may go on the Daniel fast where you have the vegetables and fruit and juices as opposed to any meats. By the way, and you'll read it in the handout that I gave you, yes, fish isn't meat, no matter what the Catholics say, all right? It isn't meat. Fowl, birds, turkey, hoot owl, it's all meat.
Shrimp?
Yeah. Flesh. If it was living at one time, other than a plant, it's a no-no, okay? And then that's the Daniel fast. And then there's a total fast where you would abstain or just have liquids. So you might mix it up. That's what I'm planning on doing. If you want to know what I'm going to do, that's what I'm planning on doing. I'm going to do a little of everything. I'm going to experiment for the 21 days and see what works best for me. I don't know. That's the way we're going to do it, okay? And by the way, you'll see in the question and asking session, you know, what happens if you fall off the wagon? Well, you get back on the wagon. All right? You know, just don't say, oh, well, gee, I forgot and ate a hamburger. You won't forget and eat a hamburger. You will purposely eat a hamburger, all right? And if you eat that hamburger, don't say, oh, well, I broke my fast. It's all over with. You know, I guess I won't fast anymore. That's tomorrow about noon. You'll do that? No. You got another chance. This is a church of more than second chances, all right? So seriously, if you get overcome and you do something, don't give up. Just go back and just show some more. We got 21 days. As Jensen Franklin said, this is a marathon, not a sprint, okay? 3 days we can sprint. We've done that. But now this is a marathon. It's going to take us a little longer, a little bit more discipline on our part, all right? Now, this godly results. The need to fast was called by various people in the scriptures, all right? Various people called for fast. A fast was called by religious leaders, such as Samuel and Ezra. There were religious reasons to fast. Something spiritual was going on. It was called on by political leaders, such as David and Nehemiah. There were political things that were happening in society at that time that fasts were called for. They were called for personal reasons, such as Esther and Paul and Daniel. They had personal reasons why they fasted. There were calls for repentance, such as Noah and Joel and Jeremiah. People needed to repent. One of the ways to get over sin is to fast. There were demonic reasons. So Jesus said when they ran into a situation with a boy who was possessed by a demon, he said, this kind only goes out by prayer and by fasting. So there were various people who called for various kinds of fasts. There were different circumstances. As I mentioned to you, the child who had been held captive by a demonic force, Jesus called for prayer and fasting in that situation to deliver that boy. People needed healing. And Isaiah talks about the fast that produces healing. I'm going to get into this in a little bit more detail in just a few minutes. When you need direction, Daniel needed direction. So he fasted to get direction. When you have financial need, Ezra fasted about financial needs. So there are lots of reasons why you could fast, and those fasts are to produce results. Now, I need to be a little careful about what I'm going to say right now. In the scriptures, as I read that, and that's my boilerplate, that's the thing that I look to, that's the watershed of where I say things. Each time in the scripture when they fasted about whatever it was they were fasting about, they got the results they were looking for. That's very interesting to me. I'm not making you any guarantees that what you've fasted about will come to pass. But if I was going on probability of what the scripture said, I would say that it would come to pass. You follow that? So I have a real sense of high probability, but I am not in the position of telling God what to do. You're going to bring your petitions before the Lord. You're going to fast and pray about those things. And I suspect that some things that we may be asking for, that somewhere along this journey, we will leave those things behind. I thought of a great illustration for you, and we've all seen pictures of this, and we've seen movies that illustrated it. When those hardy souls left the East back in the settling of this great nation, they took whatever they thought was necessary for the trip. They put it in their covered wagon, and they headed west. But as we all know, a lot of the things that they brought with them, they left along the wayside. Those things never made it to the other end. And you may find that things that you think are important today, that by the end of the next 21 days, you will have left that by the wayside. The Holy Spirit may change your mind about something and say, you don't need that along this trip. So be prepared for that, that the Holy Spirit will begin to change your mind about some things. This is an experience with God. And when you experience God, He will begin to speak to you. Some of you are going to hear God like you never heard Him before. He'll be speaking to you, telling you things. And someone will say, well, how do you know when you hear the voice of God? Jesus made that very simple. He said, you'll know my voice, and another you will not follow. You will know it. I don't know whether I told this here or I was telling someone else. When Pat and I made our first journey into Alaska, people told us about Mount McKinley, or Denali as they call it up there. They said it's the largest mountain on the North American continent. And I said, well, how will I know it when I see it? And they said, you'll know it when you see it. And we saw several mountains that we thought were it. And we got all excited and all dropped. Oh, there it is, there it is. And then when we finally saw it, we said, yeah, that's it. No doubt about it. Well, the same way with the voice of God. You will know it. There won't be any doubt in your mind about God is speaking to you, all right? Maybe in your heart, maybe in a scripture that you're reading, but you will know that it's God speaking to your heart, okay? So just be prepared for those things to happen. Now, the next thing I want to cover, and I don't plan on covering all of this today, but just enough of it to give us a feel for it, about a fast that's done for specific reason, all right? For a very specific reason. In Luke 18:14. It says, I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. This is what we read earlier. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. All right? So there will be this lifting up. There will be this reward, if you will, that happens when you humble yourself before the Lord. Now, I want you to be encouraged during the next 21 days that you're not alone. There are literally, according to Jensen Franklin, he's kind of the spearhead of this nationally, there are over 100,000 people who will be fasting with us. So we're not by ourselves. We don't know an exact count. So there are a lot of people who will be doing this with us. And so when you wake up and you're feeling bad and you're maybe a little lightheaded or your stomach hurts or you're feeling weak or, you know, you're looking for some reason to break your fast, just remember, there are probably 100,000 other people feel the same way that day, you know, including me. He was like, oh, well, you're the pastor. You won't have that problem. Oh, yes, he will. I guarantee you. We'll all have the same problem. I'll have the same temptation you will to break this fast and to not do it. But so you're not alone. Now, the rewards come through these kinds of fasts. Now, there are more fasts than I'm going to even begin to cover today, but I wanted to cover some of them. Some of this is Jensen Franklin, others is places of information that I've gathered some thoughts and as my own prayer time and discipline of studying. But the first kind of fast that I want to discuss is what's called the disciples' fast, okay, which gives us freedom from addiction and from sin. In the book of Romans, it says that we are to put aside the things of the flesh, okay? We're to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice to God. And in the fast, I want you to see yourself doing that. One of the most remarkable things about you as a believer is this one fact. It says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? That's an awesome thought, that God has taken up residence within us as believers. The Spirit of God is within us. So we have His Spirit leading us. And what we want to do is lay down our fleshly nature by disciplining ourselves, offering our bodies as a living sacrifice to God. And so that's one of the things that we will do. When we do that, we will begin to be freed from addictions and from sins that have beset us. Some of you will get set free for the first time in your life from things that you've never been able to get the victory over before. The reason you've never been able to get to over it before is you've never done anything like this with such sincerity of heart to do it. And you know what those things are in your own life that you want to get the victory over. It may be a bad habit. It may be something that you just can't control. It may be sin of some kind. This is your opportunity to break this thing out of your life. In Isaiah 58, it says, the fast that God chooses is one that loose bonds of wickedness. It undoes heavy burdens. Carrying these burdens around all of our life. Most of us in this room are old enough to be carrying these burdens around for a long, 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 long time. It's about letting the oppressed go free in the breaking of every yoke. That's what God wants to do in our lives, to set us free. Isn't it amazing that Jesus said this? He said, I've come to set captives free. That's one of the first things he said when he began his ministry. He said, those that I set free are free indeed. And yet we find ourselves looking at ourselves caught up in bondages that we can't break. What's wrong? What's wrong is we have been so busy taking care of our bodily desires that we have missed the point of seeking God to help us break these things. We're focused so much on the physical end of life that we don't spend any time at all on the spiritual side. But we give a little lip service to it sometimes. We go to church on Sunday. We read our Bible a little bit. But this is pressing in, going way beyond what normal Christian life is all about. It should be about this, but it's not about this. And when you do this, these things are going to break off of you. You will be amazed how the change of your mind and your heart begins to happen. Your mind is going to be renewed. One of the things that you need to take a steady diet of and eat as much of it as you possibly can through the next 21 days is your Bible. Read it. Morning, noon, night, as much as you possibly can, because it is the nourishment for your spirit that you need. It'll help you get the victory over things you've never gotten victory over before. Meditate on the Word. Think about the Word. Take a passage of Scripture and just hone in on it. Don't try to read the whole Bible in 21 days, but find a book of the Bible and go to book of Galatians or Ephesians or Romans. And those books are filled with truth that'll just pierce your soul and teach you things that you've never seen before. So taking a real strong diet of food from the Word of God, which will help you break these addictions as you fast. Okay? Got that? So be expecting that to happen. Another fast is called the Ezra fast. And this has to do with financial problems. Ezra was given gold and silver and all the things that he needed for the rebuilding of the temple. A king gave him these things. And you can read this in Ezra chapter 7. In chapter 8, Ezra realized that there were thieves and bandits along the way who would rob him of what God intended for him to have to be used for the kingdom of God. And Ezra was smart enough to call a fast to do that. That's in Ezra chapter 8, verse 31. So the enemy has been robbing some of you, stealing your finances. You can't ever seem to get ahead. There doesn't seem to be any end to your poverty. I believe that God will help you stop the thief from robbing you and taking away from you the things that God desires for you to have. God has put things in your hand, and the enemy's come along and taken them from them, and you've just basically just let it happen. Now you'll be standing up and saying, thus far and no more. This is the end of robbery of my finances and my prosperity that God intends me to have. Now, I know this goes against the grain somewhat of traditional Christian thinking, but I have a firm belief that God wants you to prosper. I really believe that. He wants you to prosper as your soul prospers, and your soul is prospering. So you want to be prospering in other ways too. Not to have, it's not the love of filthy lucre, as the scripture says, but to have a desire to have the things that you need, that you would have enough for yourself and enough to give to others. That's what the scriptures talk about. So if you've been in financial bondage all of your life, this is an opportunity for you to get out of that financial bondage. And that's one of the things that I encourage you to do, as I mentioned earlier, is to give during the fast. You say, well, wait a minute. You're talking about me prospering and you're talking about me giving. One of the best ways to prosper is to give.
That's right.
To give generously. There's a little sign back there that says, not to give because you have to, but because you want to. Not because you're expecting in return. This is, it's a great way to slap the devil right in the face and kick him in the derriere. No, he's been robbing you. So you just show him how much he can rob you. Say, you can't rob me because I'm going to give it to the Lord. And you give things to the Lord maybe you've never given before. And just watch what God does with that. So begin to think differently about your finances, all right? Third one I want to mention, and by the way, I'll be covering each one of these in a little bit more detail in the journal that I've given you. And you'll see some of it this week as you go through it, and the other ones that I'll be covering in a little bit more detail for you. So this will be, as Rick Warren taught us when we did the 40 Days of Purpose, you cannot over-communicate, all right? So some of this will be repetitive, but it's repetitive for a reason that you will continually have it in your mind. Samuel fast, which is a fast for national revival. If ever this nation needed to be prayed for, today is the day for us to be praying. It is a wreck. It's a financial wreck. It's a moral wreck. It is unbelievable. The things that are happening in our nation this very day. And we need to follow Samuel's admonition. In Samuel chapter 7, he talks about a fast for national revival. He says, get rid of the foreign gods and commit yourself to God. Maybe it's a time to do some house cleaning. Get rid of some of the things that have been stealing you from your relationship with the Lord. Whatever it may be, if it's robbing you of your relationship with the Lord, get rid of it. I know you just bought that new flat screen TV for Christmas. I know you just bought that new Blu-ray DVD player. My DVD player in my living room is so old, it won't even play the thing that I showed you today. It's just too antiquated. And I keep telling myself, I got to get the new Blu-ray so it can play it, We make these justification for things. If you've got other gods, be it food, be it entertainment, people, get rid of those things now. This is the opportunity for you to do that. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, everybody's familiar with this passage of scripture. It says, if my people shall call by my name shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked way, then I will hear from heaven and heal their land. Comes a time where we need to turn away from the things that have had a hold of us. We fight against the flesh, the world, and the devil. And we need to get those things out of our lives that are possessing us. I believe for some of you will be an individual time of victory, but I believe it'll be a national time of victory. I'm believing God for good things. I don't know what's going to happen in our new presidency, in our new cabinet, in the new Congress. I have no clue, but I just think it's just kind of good timing that we'll be fasting right through it, you know, and believing God to give President-elect Obama the wisdom and the godly input. You know, he confessed, he said he's a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to take him at his word until he proves differently. Well, and pray for him that God will speak to his heart and use him. You know, God changes the hearts of men. And God, if his intentions are wrong, God will get his intentions in line. If his intentions are right, God will fortify those intentions and right things will be done. But we need to pray for our nation. We need to stop some. I don't want to read the newspaper to you, but it's just gotten to the point where if we don't do something, there won't be anything left for the next generation.
That's right.
So we need to pray for our nation. The last thing I want to talk about, and I'm going to stop here and we'll pick it up next week, is the idea of the Elijah fast. I think this is something that many of us deal with. Negative and emotional feelings. Where we just can't seem to get the right attitude. Seem to be in a bad mood every day. Seem to be what, like Elijah. Elijah was so depressed about everything. He was absolutely suicidal. He wanted to die. He didn't even want to live. And it's amazing to me that he felt most like this after a great victory. He had a great victory, and then he went into this depression. If you're experiencing emotional problems, I believe this fast will help you get over those emotional problems. Help you break through those things. In fact, the Lord sent an angel on two occasions to him and gave him some food and said this food will sustain you for the next 40 days. And for the next 40 days, the scriptures indicate that Elijah had nothing to eat. 40-day fast. Now, I haven't called you to a 40-day fast this year. I don't know if I'm brave enough for a 40-day fast even next year. But this, if you're suffering with emotional problems, or you know somebody suffering with emotional problems, this fast can help you in that area. By the way, as we fast, you may not have these particular problems, but you may have people that you know that have these problems. You can intercede for them.
Amen. Amen.
During the fast, okay?
Yeah.
So let's just kind of draw a period right there on, because we've covered a lot of ground, and I don't want to overload you on things, but I think we have a good start of what we need to get us going for the next week. Has anybody got any questions or anything that you need to know before we start off tomorrow? Jim?
Do you want to comment about meeting Monday, Tuesday?
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate you bringing that up. Yes, this week we will meet Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 7 p.m. We will have some time of brief time of music and worship. It'll be kind of open-ended. I'm not real sure. But we're really going to pray. I think it's important for us to get together.
Amen.
You know,
I agree.
Misery loves company. So we will be miserably comfort get our company together, okay? And just, we're going to come and be joyous together. Come in your jammies if you have to, if you got to go to bed early, you know, it's okay. You don't need to get dressed up. Just come on down here and gather with us. And we won't stay more than about an hour or so. I say that because I'm ready to go in an hour. Most of you aren't ready to go in an hour, so we stay a lot longer. But let's just do that. I think it'll be good for us to gather together. call somebody during the day if you're feeling weak and you're feeling like this is too much and it's crazy and you need some help, call somebody. If when you get that person on the phone and they say, I don't think I can do this either, just hang up. Call somebody else, all right? Call until you find somebody who'll encourage you, okay? To be encouraged is saying, if you need to, you can call me. Email is a great way to communicate. Let me be the wagon master for just a minute. We can do this. We can do it. We can do it. I know some of you have been pumped up about it. The day of realization is tomorrow morning. Okay? We can do this. Prayerfully consider what you're going to do. If you try something that doesn't work, try something else. Okay? So that you will be a participant in what's going on. Don't be a casualty. Don't fall out. Because what you're going to be so ashamed of yourself. You're going to be so embarrassed. You're not going to want to talk to anybody. You know, so don't put yourself in that situation. Just do what you can do. Read the stuff that I gave you. It'll help you, give you some new ideas. If you want to, I'd encourage you to go down to a bookstore, pick up Jensen Franklin's book called Fasting. It's real easy to remember. You've got it. It's very encouraging, isn't it? It's got great testimonies in it. It'll really, really help you. You know, I'm talking a lot about Jensen Franklin because I believe that he has a mind of the Lord for today in this subject. All right? And there are other men in the ministry who are catching on. I've been wanting to do this for about 3 years now. I didn't have the guts to do it. You know? And so we've been working our way forward. But we will be able to do this, okay? And at the end of it, we will have seen victory and one. Don, stop that. Well, let me back up a little bit. You will see victory, but you may not see it all during the 21 days. You may see it the first day. You may see it the seventh day. You may not see it for 6 months. It may take a little time. Remember the angel that went to Daniel? Took him 21 days to get there. He had to fight his way there to get the information to him. Now, one of the things that I was going to announce today, but I'm backing off on it. I felt a check in my spirit. I'm not going to tell you about it yet. The vision the Lord gave me as a church, I was going to talk about that next week, but I'm not. I'm going to hold on to that a little bit longer into our fast before I tell you about that. And then you'll get a better picture of what I believe the Lord's going to have us do as a body of believers. It'll really encourage you when I give you that word, okay? I'm encouraged just thinking about it. I've read it over several times. So any comments, questions? Y'all ready? Yep. Wagon's hole, stand up. Hallelujah. And by the way, if there's anyone in here who's